Emerald City of Oz, Grand Gallipoot. After leaving the Whimsies, Guff continued on his journey and penetrated far into the northwest. He wanted to get to the country of the Grollywogs, and in order to do that, he must cross the Ripple Land, which was a hard thing to do. The Ripple Land was a succession of hills and valleys, all very steep and rocky, and they changed places constantly by rippling. While Guff was climbing a hill, it sank down under him and became a valley. And while he was descending into a valley, it rose up and carried him to the top of a hill. This was very perplexing to the traveler, and a stranger might have thought he could never cross the Ripple Land at all, but Guff knew that if he kept steadily on, he would get to the end at last. So he paid no attention to the changing hills and valleys, and plodded along as calmly as if walking upon level ground. The result of this wise persistence was that the general finally reached firmer soil and, after penetrating a dense forest, came to the dominion of the Grollywogs. No sooner had he crossed the border of this domain when two guards seized him and carried him before the Grand Gallipoot of the Grollywogs, who scowled upon him ferociously and asked him why he dared intrude upon his territory. "I'm the Lord High General of the Invincible Army of the Elves, and my name is Guff," was the reply. "All the world trembles when that name is mentioned." The Grollywogs gave a shout of jeering laughter at this, and one of them caught the elf in his arms and tossed him high into the air. Guff was considerably shaken when he fell upon the hard ground, but he appeared to take no notice and composed himself to speak again to the Grand Gallipoot. "My master, King Rokot the Red, has sent me here to confer with you. He wishes your assistance to conquer the Land of Oz." Here the general paused, and the Grand Gallipoot scowled upon him more terribly than ever and said, "Go on." The voice of the Grand Gallipoot was partly a roar and partly a growl. He mumbled his words badly, and Guff had to listen carefully in order to understand him. These Grollywogs were certainly remarkable creatures. They were of gigantic size, yet were all bone and skin and muscle, there being no meat or fat upon their bodies at all. Their powerful muscles lay just underneath their skins, like bunches of tough rope. And the weakest Grollywog was so strong that he could pick up an elephant. It seems unfortunate that strong people are usually so disagreeable that no one cares for them. In fact, to be different from your fellow creatures is always a misfortune. The Grollywogs knew that they were disliked and avoided by everyone, so they had become surly and unsociable, even among themselves. Guff knew that they hated all people, including the elves, but he hoped to win them over, nevertheless, and knew that if he succeeded, they would provide powerful assistance. "The Land of Oz is ruled by a girl who is disgustingly kind and good," he continued. "Her people are all happy and contented, and have no care or worries whatsoever." "Go on," growled the Grand Gallipoot. "Once the Elf King enslaved the royal family of Eve, another group that we detest," said the general. "But Ozma interfered, although it was none of her business, and marched her army against us. With her was a girl named Dorothy, and they marched directly into the Elf King's cavern. There, they liberated our slaves from Eve and stole King Rokot's magic belt, which they carried away with them. So now, our king is making a tunnel under the deadly desert, so we can march through it to the Emerald City. When we get there, we mean to conquer and destroy all the land and recapture the magic belt." Again he paused, and again the Grand Gallipoot growled, "Go on." Guff tried to think what to say next, and a happy thought soon occurred to him. "We want you to help us in this conquest," he announced. "We need the mighty aid of the Grollywogs in order to ensure we are not defeated. You are the strongest people in all of the world, and you hate good and happy creatures as much as we elves do. I am sure it will be a real pleasure for you to tear down the beautiful Emerald City, and in return for your valuable assistance, we will allow you to bring back to your country 10,000 people of Oz, to be your slaves. 20,000, growled the Grand Galliput. All right, we promise you 20,000, agreed the general. The Galliput made a signal, and at once his attendants picked up General Guff and carried him away to prison, where the jailer amused himself by sticking pins into the round fat body of the old elf to see him jump and hear him yell. But while this was going on, the Grand Galliput was talking with his counselors, who were the most important officials of the Grollywogs. When he told them the proposition of the Elf King, he said, "My advice is to offer to help them. Then, when we have conquered the Land of Oz, we will take not only our 20,000 prisoners, but all of the gold and jewels we want. We will take the magic belt too," suggested one counselor. "And rob the Elf King and make him our slave," said another. "That is a good idea," declared the Grand Galliput. "I'd like King Rokot for my own slave. He could shine my boots and bring me my breakfast every morning in bed." "There is a famous scarecrow in Oz. I'll take him for my slave," said a counselor. "I'll take Tick-Tock, the machine man," said another. "Give me the Tin Woodman," said a third. They went on for some time dividing up the people and the treasure of Oz in advance of the conquest. They had no doubt at all they would be able to destroy Ozma's domain. Were they not the strongest people in all the world? "The deadly desert has kept us out of Oz before," remarked the Grand Galliput. "But now that the Elf King is building a tunnel, now we can get into the Emerald City easily. Let us send the little fat general back to his king with our promise to assist him." The plan was agreed upon, and they all went home to dinner, leaving General Guff still in prison. The elf had no idea that he had succeeded in his mission, for finding himself in prison, he feared the Grollywogs intended to put him to death. By this time, the jailer had tired of sticking pins in the general and was amusing himself by carefully pulling the elf's whiskers out one by one. This enjoyment was interrupted by the Grand Galliput sending for the prisoner. "Wait," begged the jailer, "I haven't pulled out all his whiskers yet." "If you keep the Grand Galliput waiting, he'll break your back," declared the messenger. "Perhaps you are right," sighed the jailer. "Take the prisoner away. But I advise you to kick him as he walks. It will be good fun, and he is soft as a ripe peach." So Guff was led away to the royal castle, where the Grand Galliput told him that the Grollywogs had decided to assist the elves in conquering the Land of Oz. "When you are ready," he added, "send me word, and I will march with 18,000 of my most powerful warriors to your aid." Guff was so delighted that he forgot about all the pain caused by the pins and whisker pulling, did not even complain of the treatment he had received, but thanked the Grand Galliput and hurried away on his journey. He had now secured the assistance of the Whimsies and the Grollywogs, but his success made him long for still more allies. His own life depended on conquering Oz, and he said to himself, "I'll take no chances. I'll be certain of success. Then, when Oz is destroyed, perhaps I shall be a greater man than old Rokot, and I can throw him away and be king of the elves myself. Why not? The Whimsies are stronger than the elves, and they are my friends. The Grollywogs are stronger than the Whimsies, and they are also my friends. There are some people still stronger than the Grollywogs, and if I have them on my side, I will have nothing to fear."